What is going on, guys? Your boy Elroy here, and welcome back to the Your Boy Elroy MMA podcast. I'm your host, Josh Prep Egina, and we're back again. Oh, and it's about to heat up, man. It is getting really warm outside. Schedule is super busy when it comes to MMA, when it comes to life in general. My job, my daughter is, it's summertime, you know what I mean? But I'm ready. I'm here for it. Let's get right into it. First and foremost, this is being recorded, obviously, last week. I didn't get to say it, but this week I will say it. Happy belated Father's Day to all the fathers out there. I am a father, and I've always said it since I've become a father, and I will continue to say it. It's my favorite thing about me now. And, you know, I'm blessed to be a father. I was blessed with an amazing father who was able to really guide me in the right direction, you know, and no matter how stubborn I was, you know, with my father who raised me the way he raised me, I was able to always stay on the straight and narrow. I was raised with faith and love and just community, and I pray that I can give my daughter half those things, because it really steered me in an amazing direction. And you know, I hope to set her up as well as my parents set me up. But yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, last week it was also my brother's birthday on Saturday. So happy belated birthday to my brother, Jonathan, who is currently, well, not like at this moment, but he is in Florida. And, he is currently on vacation. So he's probably on the beach somewhere, you know, enjoying the sun and some rest. And if anybody deserves some rest and a break, it is my brother, Jonathan. Jonathan, I love you. You're 40 now. And I always said, I don't even know if you're ever going to hear this, but I always said that you owe all your successes in life to me, because if it wasn't for me, you would have never came back to Philly. And, you know, God knows where you would have been. But since I'm here and you wanted to come back home and, you know, be with your little brother, you owe all your success to me. But in reality, Jay, these last 2 years have been a blessing, and I think that I owe my life and my successes recently to you and your prayers and your guidance. And for that, I am forever grateful. I love you, dude. I hope you're having an amazing vacation. So yeah, let's get into it. So Friday, get off of work about 5:45. You know, work a little over 12-hour shift, which is no biggie. Apparently, they're just normal now to me. It's been so long since I've had to work those kind of hours. Like, before moving, I was working at this place called Exceptional Foods, and I was a production supervisor for, like, the cut room. And, you know, I was a salaried employee, and I think I was working, you know, at the most in a week, 45 hours. And this is the absolute most, you know what I mean? But the majority of the time I was working less than 40, like, you know, in the 36, 38 range, which is beautiful. You know what I mean? That's the name of the game. Get work less, get paid more, not the other way around. But then we moved, and when we moved, so I love telling this story, and I probably have told it on here before, but if you're new here, listen to this. We moved. I ended up getting a job, my first third shift job ever. Mind you, I am a deep sleeper. I can fall asleep anywhere in the world. Yo, you could put me out in a train station, and if I put my head down long enough in the hood, I'll fall asleep, no matter the threat. But, so we moved on a Saturday. I had Saturday all day. By the time we got here, I think we got here at like 2 on Saturday after the drive, right? Unloaded most of the truck, relaxed, you know, went to sleep, woke up Sunday morning, unloaded the rest of the truck to take it back. And Sunday, midnight going into Monday, I had to report to my job for the first time working a third shift job. And now I've been cutting meat about 15 years, 16 years, something crazy. Half my life. You know, I started when I was 14. I'm 31 now. So I go to this chicken plant, and I'm like, how hard could this be? Because chicken is always the easiest, you know what I mean? It's like the first thing you learn, how to, you know, debone a chicken, and here you go. But, you know, a chicken plant is very different, you know. And I was working on the cone line, which is apparently, like, the most stressful. So you have to, the chicken comes on this conveyor belt on a cone, like a cone in the cavity, like you place the chicken on the cone, and I'm supposed to like grab the wing and cut down from the wing and the breast. And it was, like I said, no matter how long you've been cutting meat, it's not the same. It's just not the same. So I couldn't get it. I was super frustrated. I'm not someone who likes to fail. You know, I take my licks, but I'm not someone who enjoys the process. You know what I mean? And, yeah, I just couldn't do it. So I was trying to figure that out. In the meantime, like a few weeks before we moved, I had came here to North Carolina and handed out resumes at every butcher shop that I could find on Yelp. Like butcher shops, restaurants that cut meat, fish markets, it didn't matter. I drove like an hour away from my brother's house, you know. It was crazy. And I didn't get not one phone call until that Monday when I was already moved here. I got the call from this one spot in South Carolina. Hey, we would like you to join the team, blah, blah, blah. All right, cool. So what ended up being my schedule for about 2 or 3 weeks, or 3 or 4 weeks, let's say, I would start work Sunday into Monday, right? I'd go to work from midnight. It was earlier than that, but let's just say midnight to 7:30. I'd drive the hour back home, get home, fall asleep, wake up at 11:30 to take a shower, take an hour drive to South Carolina to work from 1 to 8, to drive from South Carolina all the way to Marshville, North Carolina, which was an hour, sleep in my car for an hour, and go into the plant. Do it all over again. I know it's not, it's just not realistic. It wasn't feasible. I ended up leaving the chicken plant, staying at the part-time butcher shop, which is paying me doo-doo for, you know, a month while I figured it out, I ended up getting a job opportunity at a supermarket. I haven't worked at, you know, a retail market in the management capacity in a few years, but I ended up getting taken into this like assistant manager program. And like, I went through all the training and I was like, it was like months of training, like 2 or 3 months. And then I was already sick of the retail. I was like, I can't do this. It was my first time working retail with a child. Like I had Sadie, so for me it's like, oh, all my free time is done. Like, and I like to spend time with my family. So I'm like, I can't do this. I gotta figure it out. Never forget sitting at Bible study on the iPad and my laptop off screen to the side, scrolling, you know, looking on Indeed, what's going on, and job listing pops up for they were looking for a meat cutter at a plant, at a portion control plant, which I'm used to doing, which was what I was doing back home as a production supervisor. I was cutting meat for, you know, hotels, restaurants, and casinos. So I applied, I think that night, which is crazy, before I had, you know, logged into Bible study and was looking for a job. I think I told my wife, and she can tell you this too. Like, I told her, like, yo, no matter what, in 2 weeks, I'm giving my notice. I said, I'll have to figure it out. I'll drive, you know, Uber or something. So I ended up getting the call relatively quickly, getting hired pretty quickly, and I've been there ever since. You know, it took me almost a year to the date from my hire, I've been promoted. So, you know, hard work pays off. Like I said, where I started, you know, I've been working crazy hours and it's fine. It's kind of like, I guess I'm sort of used to it. It's only been like 3 weeks, but I'm like used to it already. And I found that balance between, you know, yes, I'm tired, but I realize that I have a family that I need to tend to. So I found that balance where I can rest when the baby's down. You know, I spend time with my wife, whether we watch TV, sit in bed and talk and laugh at TikToks. You know, I have found that balance and I'm happy about it. But yeah, so Friday, get out pretty late. I get a message from my sister-in-law. Hey, can you make the dessert for tomorrow? It was my brother's birthday the next day. So yeah, so stay up late baking cakes with my wife and watching a little bit of Giannis Papa's special, comedy special on YouTube. And I didn't get through all of it. I think I only, you know, paid attention or stayed up for like 15 minutes of it, and it was funny, but I don't think it does him justice, like compared to like how funny he is on podcasts. So it's kind of tough. Like, we talked about how Brendan Schaub, like, I knew most of his material because it comes from the podcast. Like, I knew it all, and I was able to laugh at it because I was able to finish those jokes in my head before they were said. But with Giannis, you know, he said some funny stuff. But like, dude, his timing, like on podcasts and rebuttals against people and interviews, is like next level. Like, he's so funny when it comes to that. So, yeah, but made the cake, went to sleep, woke up, had to help a friend of ours that we met out here. They were moving. They had just bought a house. Congratulations to them. So I helped them move the furniture into the truck. And before you know it, you know, it was getting late, and I'm like, dude, I gotta go to my brother's. So I pull him aside. I say, hey man, I helped you move the stuff into the truck. I said, your cousin's here, you know, I think you guys could take care of it. I really gotta go. He's like, oh no, it's great man, thank you so much, blah blah blah. Gives me a hug, and I run home, shower, and then head to my brother's, where a friend of ours, I call him Pastor, his name is Raul. He came from Georgia. He cooked for my brother, made this like incredible spread of just Puerto Rican, like arroz con gandules, guineito de cabeche, flan de vainilla, and he seasoned some pork chops and some chicken, and I threw that stuff on the grill and for him. And we tore up some food, spent some time, laughed a lot, talked about, you know, church back in the day, and we even watched some fights. And at like 8 o'clock, brother's like, "Oh, let's go get ice cream." Who am I to say no? So we run to Two Scoops in Waxhaw, amazing like creamery style ice cream spot. Eat some ice cream, and then Jen and I bounce first because Sadie's got to go to bed. So that was Saturday. Beautiful birthday spent with my brother. Then Sunday, it was Father's Day. Oh, wait. Sorry. So we get home, and my wife's like, "Hey, you coming back down?" And I'm like, "Oh, do you need me?" She's like, "Yeah, why don't you come back down?" So I go down, sit on the couch. She's like, "Hey, can you come over here?" And she had my Father's Day gift there. She got me a Nintendo Switch, which I have right here. You can hear that. And I am obsessed. I had a Switch before, got rid of it. Dumb decision, but I'm glad to have it back. I've wanted it for a while. She's known that. She's held off on it for a few holidays, but finally the time was right, and she got it for me, and thank you, babe. I love it. Right now I'm playing Zelda, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Because when I first had it, I didn't play that game. I played Super Mario Odyssey, but I bought that and Legend of Zelda. So, trying to finish some Breath of the Wild before I pop in Mario Odyssey. But so far, so good. It's so much fun. It's perfect. It's perfect because, like, I enjoy watching TV and YouTube and stuff. You know, I ingest most of my content from like my phone or my iPad. Like, it's really hard to like sit down. So like, I have the option of both with this, and like, it's the perfect, like, I need to decompress, like, and just lay back, and it's beautiful. I'm really enjoying having that, you know, just like 30 minutes before I go to bed, then I put it aside right before I go down, and it's been beautiful. So yeah, that all leads into here. Like I said, on Saturday of last week, I ended up watching some fights with my brother, so we'll get into that. UFC Fight Night live from the Moody Center in Austin, Texas, in the main event. Maybe a fight of the year candidate? Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say that. But phenomenal contest at featherweight. In the end, Josh Emmett defeats Calvin Kattar by split decision. I personally scored the fight for Kattar. Again, I can't fight either way. Kattar landed more. Josh Emmett hit harder, but you would never know that by the way Josh Emmett's face looked versus Calvin Kattar's. So it was incredibly fascinating to watch. You know, Calvin Kattar, we know he can go five rounds. We've seen him get whooped on for five rounds by Max Holloway. But he was very much in the fight. Won the fourth round. I think he won the fifth as well. So, you know, with all that, he was killing it in this fight. Josh Emmett looked great too. He's got phenomenal hands. Calls for a title shot at the end. Unfortunately for him, you know, I don't see it at this moment. You know, there's just so much going on at 145 in the UFC. And like, to call for that shot, I think that he needs one more. Like, if he's going to be in the title mix, or in, you know, in that mix, I think he needs one more. So I think, personally, the perfect opportunity is to just wait for that Ortega-Yair fight and see if he can, you know, if he could pull off, you know, getting the winner of that, especially if it's Brian Ortega, who we know is not going to get a shot at this moment. I think that's the perfect fight. So that was the main event. a hell of a night of fights. So we're going to keep going down because there were some phenomenal. Let's actually start at the bottom. Unfortunately, my boy Kyle Daukaus gets TKO'd in the first round by Roman Dolidze. Who had that on their bingo card? Absolutely nobody thought that Roman Dolidze would be able to KO or TKO Kyle Daukaus. Every other time that we've seen Roman Dolidze is just so uninspiring, like drowning people in wrestling. It's kind of hard to watch. But man, that knee was dirty to Kyle Daukaus, man. But keep your head up, Kyle. Phil Hawes defeats DeRonwin by TKO with, Phil Hawes drew some amazing elbows in this fight. It really took it to DeRonwin and was able to finish him. What I don't respect was him coming at my boy. I get it, you're worked up. You know that they're teammates, but you had no right to chop up DC, who's a professional, for no reason. Why? Why would you do that? You look terrible, Phil Hawes. And I love DC's response. You didn't beat me. You didn't beat me. Oh, what a phenomenal response, DC. But Phil Hawes looked good, let's be honest. Cody Stamann TKOs Eddie Wineland in the first round. Good on Cody Stamann to get back in the winning, get back to the winning. Eddie Wineland takes off his gloves. Unfortunately, he doesn't get to, give a speech or anything, but good on Eddie Wineland going out on his back. It's like pro wrestling. But we know he's been done for a while, but he's just such a name whose game that they kept him around. But good on him. Great career, long career, and we wish him the best in his future endeavors. Maria Oliveira defeated Gloria DiPaolo by split decision. Ricardo Ramos KOs Danny Chavez by spinning back elbow. Brutal, brutal knockout. Ricardo Ramos, I think somebody said something crazy like there's 6 spinning elbow finishes in the UFC history, and Ricardo Ramos has 2. That's crazy to think about. That is wild. Good on him. Jeremiah Wells holds it down for Philly. Thanks, Jeremiah, for doing it. He KOs Court McGee in the first round with this disgusting left hook. Just a monster left hook. Listen, at welterweight, which he is, I think that there's names in that bottom part of the division. We have people like Jeff Neal, Michael Chiesa, Li Jingliang, Michel Pajeda, and Shavkat Rakhmonov. There's names on that end that I think that he would blow away like tomorrow. So I hope he gets a big hop, skip in competition, and I'm excited for that. Talk about excited. Someone like Natalia Silva comes in her UFC debut and just puts it on Jasmine Jazz Devizia, someone that we were so excited coming off of the Contender Series. She looked great in her UFC debut, and she just got outclassed for 3 rounds by Natalia Silva. Just such an interesting name and addition to that division, man. Good on her. We're excited to see more of her. I hope she comes back and turns around quick. My favorite moment of the night. You guys know how I feel about this fighter. Adrian Yanez KOs Tony Kelly in the first round. Just a ball of fire. We know how he is. He's super precise but powerful at the same time, and takes it to that racist, lame Tony Kelly. Like, what a cornball to talk all that stuff and then just get completely demolished in less than a round, dude. Adrian Yanez is next level talented, and he debuts in the UFC rankings at number 15. Congratulations, Adrian Yanez, on the win and the ranking. It's good to see you with a number next to your name. We called it Gregory Rodriguez versus Julian Marquez. Wild 3 minutes in the end. Julian Marquez doesn't, like, he has such a phenomenal chin and just great awareness, but Gregory Rodriguez just proved to be too much. TKOs Julian Marquez in the first round. Just a wild exchange, man. We love Gregory Rodriguez. We talk about how great he is, and you know, his jiu-jitsu is phenomenal. He has great striking. But, man, there's something about that Julian Marquez. He's so charismatic. He has great ground game, great awareness, and his, you know, striking is improving every day. But I hope that he can come back and be stronger. I would like to see Gregory Rodriguez fight somebody, you know, maybe with a number next to their name. You know, there's a couple names at the bottom. Brad Tavares, you know, Andre Muniz is a really fun fight, even though they're both Brazilian. They don't like to do that. But yeah, those are good prospects for Gregory Rodriguez's next fight. Demir Ismagulov versus Guram Kutsalatse. Super close fight. I had it for Guram, but in the end, Demir Ismagulov defeats Guram by split decision. Like I said, either way was fine. It was a super close fight. Really fun fight, too. Really technical, man. That Guram, his kickboxing is a blast to watch. A name that we were really excited about coming off of the Contender Series. We spoke about him before. He had a really good debut in the UFC. Albert Duraev. He gets TKO'd in the second round by Joaquin Buckley due to a doctor's stoppage because Albert Duraev's eye was swollen shut. Joaquin put it on him, man. Joaquin Buckley is vastly improving. He is on a win streak at the moment with 3 wins in a row, 2 by finish, 1 by split decision, which I thought was, I don't think it was that much of a split decision, but he's looked great, man. 4-1 in his last 5. So he's someone that I think that we should keep an eye out on, you know. Obviously, we know him for that, like, highlight reel, just certified highlight reel, jumping, spinning, back kick, knockout. But he's quickly working up a phenomenal resume. So Joaquin Buckley defeats Albert Duraev. In the co-main event, Kevin Holland returns to Texas and submits Tim Means in the second round via Darce choke. Just a really fun fight, man. Tim Means always brings it. Kevin Holland is a superstar. At 170, I think he looks phenomenal. I think it's the right weight class for him. And, you know, I think that this next booking for him is extremely important. I think he's another one that could beat a lot of those guys at 170 in that bottom, you know, in that bottom quarter, like whether it be Li Jingliang or Jeff Neal or Michael Chiesa or Neil Magny, I think those are all names that Kevin Holland 100% has a chance at beating, man. He is a monster. He's a superstar. Every finish on this card got a performance bonus, as well as the main event, which we talked about already. They got fight of the night. Just a super fun card from Austin, Texas, man. Congratulations to the UFC. They bring heat every week. This week is no different. The only difference is that there is so much going on this week. We'll start with the least important. Let's be honest, because it's PFL 5 when 6 is way more fun because a friend of the show, excuse me, Kayla Harrison is on 6. But let's talk about 5 live from Atlanta, Georgia. In the main event, Bruno Capoloza will take on Matheus Chiffel. In the co-main event, Anthony Pettis versus Stevie Ray. Henan Fajeda is on this card. Chris Wade versus Kyle Bochniak. Bubba Jenkins is on this card. Shout out to Bubba Jenkins. Maurice Green takes on Denis Galvotsk. Lance Palmer versus Shaman Moraes. Juan Adams is on this card. And Brendan Lochnane, first fight of the night. Oh, how the tides have tabled. that is PFL 5. Then we move on to later that night. Something that I'm extremely excited for. I cannot wait to watch later today for you guys. Bellator 282 live from the Mohegan Sun Arena in Uncasville, Connecticut. In the main event, Gegard Mousasi takes on Johnny Eblen. This is obviously for the middleweight title. In the co-main event, friend of the show, the most exciting prospect on the Bellator roster, the most viral fighter on the Bellator roster at this moment, the Italian gangster, Danny Sabatello, is back and he takes on Leandro Higo. I cannot wait to see this fight. This is going to be phenomenal. Another fight from that same bracket, Magomed Magomedov versus Enrique Barzola. Brennan Ward is on this card. Brent Pyrmus is on this card. Kat Zingano is back versus Pam Sorensen. Who else? Saba Hamasi. Cody Law. Lucas Brennan. Great prospect. And that's it. A phenomenal, phenomenal lineup from Bellator. That co-main event is beautiful. The Moose is back. You know how we feel about the Moose. We love the Moose, even though he's not better than Israel Adesanya, no matter what he says. That is Bellator 282. And all let's start that again. I'm not going to delete that. All roads lead back to the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Nevada for UFC Fight Night. In the main event, a couple of prospects at 155. Just a very, very interesting main event here at 155. I can't believe the UFC is doing it, but we have the number 11, Arman Tsarukyan, versus the number 12, Matheus Gamrot. This is going to be a fire fight. Good on the UFC for putting this in the main event, but they do have some firefights under them. So we're starting off with the co-main event, Neil Magny versus Shavkat Rakhmonov, Josh Parisian versus Alan Boudreau, Christos Jagos versus Thiago Moises, Umar Nurmagomedov is back versus Nate Maness, Chris Curtis, our boy, he's back finally to take on Rodolfo Vieira. Tefon Ichukwu versus Carlos Olberg. TJ Brown is back versus... Ooh, that is a name. That is a tough name to say. Halyan Paiva versus Sergey Morozov. Cody Durden versus JP Bays. Mario Bautista versus Brian Kelleher. And Jinyu Fry versus Vanessa Dumopoulos. That is the UFC Fight Night event from this upcoming weekend. But this has been this week's episode of YBE MMA. I am Josh Prepbeginning. You can find me on all forms of social media. Elroy Preps in one word. You can find the show on Instagram at YBE MMA Podcast, as well as Teespring. Teespring.com/stores/YBE MMA Podcast. If it's your birthday, happy birthday. Love your mothers. I love you, Mom. Enjoy the fights this weekend, and we'll see you next week.